Awakened listeners, before we jump into today's sermon, I want to invite you to be part of our most exciting opportunity yet. It's called the Vision Fund. Isn't that a great name for a blind pastor? And you know, my job as a blind pastor, it's to help people trust a God they can't see. But I need your help to fully accomplish what God has set before us. Generous friends have come together to create a $25,000 match. This fund is going to be available through the months of April, May, and June. And when listeners just like you decide to come alongside us and partner with us in sharing this gospel the way that we are, well, every dollar you give will be matched dollar for dollar. So friends, come alongside us and help us impact even more. You can go to my website, chadroberts.org. Click the link on the homepage called Vision Fund and learn more, because together we are reaching so many. We're on many platforms, but we need listeners just like you to continue to go forward. Join us today, the Vision Fund. Check it out at chadroberts.org. Welcome to Awaken to Grace. I'm Chad Roberts, and I'm your Bible teacher today, and I am so glad you're with me, because we are in a fascinating portion of our study of Hebrews. I'm preaching today a sermon called Why Religion Cannot Save You. Friends, many people check all the boxes when it comes to religion, but that doesn't mean that they belong to the Lord. I'm going to show you the difference out of the Word of God today in today's broadcast. Before we jump into today's sermon, I want to ask you, have you ever subscribed to my YouTube channel? Well, the reason I would love for you to subscribe is because what you're doing is subscribing to spiritual growth. We have organized our YouTube channel to make it so easy for you to find archived sermon series, for you to search it very easily. There's music there, and also you can watch live sermons, the sermons that I preach every weekend from the pulpit of Preaching Christ Church, the wonderful church that I pastor. Well, I would love for you to connect with us through YouTube. You can click the little subscribe bell, and when you do, you're subscribing to spiritual growth. Go today, search Awakened to Grace with Chad Roberts, and follow us on our YouTube channel. Well, let's get to God's Word today. The sermon, Why Religion Cannot Save You. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. I hope your Easter weekend has already been wonderful. Just spending time in the Word this morning made my Easter weekend glorious. As many of you know, I've talked about it. I'm in a Bible reading plan right now, and I'm going through the Bible in chronological order. And typically, it's about three chapters per day that I listen to. And if you do three chapters per day, sometimes four, but pretty well three will take you through the entire Bible in a year. And today is the 90th day of the year, and my scripture reading, I finished the book of Judges yesterday, and this morning it called for Ruth, and I was very excited for Ruth. And you know, there are only four chapters in the entire book of Ruth, so it did all four in my reading plan. So I sat down early this morning and went through the entire book of Ruth, which, as many of you know, is the story of a kinsman redeemer. Do you remember what we talked about last Sunday about how Christ has done what? He has redeemed us.
I took you to my experience in Zanzibar, Africa, in the hub of what was the slave trade. I hope many of you Googled it. I hope you looked up the images of what the Zanzibar slave pit looked like. And we talked about what it meant to be redeemed. We talked about how redemption means to go to the marketplace and to buy back. Well, this morning's reading, you know, as I preach through the book of Hebrews, I am amazed at how my Old Testament readings are just lining up perfectly with what I'm preaching in the book of Hebrews. It stuns me. Do you know why it does that? Because the Bible has one primary author, the Spirit of God. And so in our text today, it was so fitting for what the text says, for going back and reading the book of Hebrews, which is all about redemption, which is all about a near kinsman redeemer, which all sets up Jesus Christ. And by the way, did you know that Ruth, who was a Gentile, a Moabite, who became a Gentile bride to Boaz, her near kinsman. What is the church of Jesus Christ? We are the Gentile bride of our near kinsman redeemer who took on a robe of flesh that he might redeem us. Amen. And did you know that Ruth is in the very genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ? What a story. So I'm savoring that this morning. I'm thinking deeply on that. I'm thinking about Christ who we were so far, like Ruth, who was a Moabite, Ruth, who had no part of the inheritance of God, Ruth, who had no way to salvation, Ruth, who could have never been brought near into God's covenant in natural standing. No, Boaz, the near kinsman redeemer, took her for himself and redeemed her, bringing her into the family of God. Oh, those are so heavy on my thoughts today about how we in our sins were cut off. We were so far from God. You and I in our natural state, you and I cannot come to God no more than, fill the blank with any analogy that you want. Here's the best word. It is impossible, because you and I are far from God. And our own religion and our own morality and our own kindness and our own goodness and our own intentions will never bring us to God. Amen. We are separated. We are cut off. There is no hope. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say it like this: we were without God and without hope in this world, being far from the covenant of God. But Christ, our near kinsman redeemer, he has brought us into this covenant. So let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. We touched on this last week, and I want to go back and touch on it leading into verse 15 today. Look what it says. How much more will the blood of Christ? Oh, that's enough to preach a Resurrection Sunday sermon right there. You could just highlight, you could parenthesis that one clause, and you can so apply it to your life. Now say amen if you're with me right now. Amen. How many of us have lived with shame most of our life? How many of us have lived with deep regret for most of our life? How many of us have so often felt like the most unworthy in a building, right? Whatever crowd you're in, you feel like you're the least. You may feel like you're the least worthy of God's grace or God's love. And many of us, we've tried so many different things, but nothing has ever worked. Nothing has ever lifted shame off of our life. Nothing has ever removed guilt out of our heart. Nothing that we have tried, whether it's praying to God or whether it's coming to church or whether it's being a better person or whether it's reading the Bible. And we've got these things that we think if we check the boxes, some of us have tried to be baptized, but it doesn't seem to work. And we try to get a dose of what we would call religion in us. But it doesn't work. It doesn't take off the shame. It doesn't lift off the guilt. And in our heart of hearts, we're saying, what is going to work? And I'll tell you, religion can never do it. You can read the Bible cover to cover, and it will not take those things out of your heart necessarily. You can be baptized over and over and over, and it will not bring peace with God. You can come to a church experience every Sunday and you can know the songs and you can sing the melodies and the lyrics, but it won't bring peace with God. There is only one thing that will bring peace with a God Almighty and a sinner, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing will substitute. And that's why the scriptures say, oh, but how much more will the blood of Christ, what baptism can't do, what scripture reading can't do on its own, what going to church can't do on its own, what praying cannot do on its own, the blood of Jesus will do. And see, when you get that right, when you get that clear, that's when baptism has its effect. That's when prayer has its effect. That's when the word has its effect. That's when church has its most effect. But if you don't have the blood of Christ applied, you've missed the whole thing. You can be someone who is quite religious, but not born again. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Now look what it says, verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, look what it says, purify, cleanse, purge, sanctify. All of those are fitting words. How much more will the blood of Christ purify the conscience of dead works? Now, I love that phrase. I had a young lady sit down with me some months ago in a counseling session, and her faith is truly beginning to grow. I'm so proud of where her faith is and the steps that she has taken. But in just a moment of frustration, she asked me a question I think a lot of people are asking themselves. She said, Pastor Chad, what will fix me? I don't know who you are today, but have you ever asked yourself, what will fix me? And my heart so went out to this individual. And right then, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. In that very instant, the Lord said, tell her this. And I said, sister, it's not an issue of being fixed. It's an issue of being made complete. Christ wants to complete you. He wants to make you whole. I was so touched by all of the testimonies Friday evening. Each one just holds a special place in my heart, and I've reflected and pondered each of them all weekend. But one that was particularly sweet to me was the testimony of Kim Scalf. That night, we sang the old hymn, Nothing But the Blood. What can make me, what's the lyric say? Whole again, nothing but the blood. And Kim stood up here and she told us some of her background and she told us some of her past and her searching and her coming up empty and her not being satisfied in life. You know what is so terrible that so many people live with? You think of someone lost in a desert, and so often if someone is lost in a desert, what happens? Their eyes begin to play tricks on them, right? And what do they call that when you see water that's not there in a desert? What's that called? A mirage. And there are many people listening today, you live a mirage life. You're so thirsty in your soul today. And you're so desperate for something to satisfy. And you're so desperate for something to quench. You're so desperate for something to make you whole. And so what do? In our state of mirage, we take a large drink thinking it's water. But what is it? It's sand. And all it does is leave us more thirsty than when we first began. And that's why relationships have never satisfied you. That's why moving out of town have never satisfied you. That's why changing careers have never satisfied you. That's why more money doesn't satisfy you. That's why new friendships doesn't satisfy you. That's why trying to go back to your childhood and fixing things of the past, it doesn't satisfy you, because your soul was made for living water and everything else is sand. And until you drink the living water, you'll never be made whole. And Kim gave such sweet testimony of when she encountered the living Lord Jesus, he made her whole. Are you listening today and you're not whole? I'm not asking, are you religious? I'm asking, are you made whole? I'm not asking, do you go to church? I'm asking, are you made whole? I'm not asking if you're a praying person. I'm asking, are you made whole today? Because only the blood of Christ will. And furthermore, how much more so will the blood of Christ make you whole? What a guarantee. So he says, it will purge the conscience of dead works. It will lift off shame. That shame you've lived with your whole life. It is no power to the blood of Christ. The guilt that you carry has no power compared to the blood of Christ. The sin that you carry, the blood of Christ is far greater. The regrets you have, the blood of Christ, far superior. It will purge the conscience. In other words, it cleanses without. It cleanses within. Those of you who you suffer with regret, let me give you a scripture I want you to note. Please note 1 John 3, verses 19, 20. I can tell I'm preaching hard. I'm thirsty. It says, by this truth, our hearts are reassured. What truth? Verse 20. That God is greater than our heart. It says, even if our hearts condemn us. Anyone your heart ever condemns you? Anyone that your heart brings shame on you, regret on you? Even if our heart condemns us, even if we sinned knowingly, we sinned with a high hand, and it's true, it's legitimate, it's fact. Even if, what's the scripture say? God is greater than your heart. And he knows everything. What a scripture. Next time that regret tries to pounce on you, next time that shame tries to defeat you, next time that sin tries to make you shy away from God, quote this verse to yourself. Read this verse to your own heart. God is greater than your own heart. He'll purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Oh, I love that. I've been thinking of that all week long. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve an image. We don't serve a figment of our own imaginations. We don't serve a religion. We serve a living Savior. And nothing magnifies the living Savior than Resurrection Sunday. Can we say amen to that today? Verse 15. Therefore, there's our word in Hebrews. What a beautiful transition word. Remember, the word therefore is bringing a conclusion to a great argument. Here's the conclusion. Therefore, he, meaning Christ, is the mediator of a new covenant. Oh, I love that. See, today, if you have tried everything, including religion, but nothing has set you free. If you've tried everything, including religion, but it's never changed truly who you are. If you've tried everything, including religion, but your nature has never been changed. Let me tell you what will change it. The blood of Christ applied to your life, bringing you into this new covenant.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour down on turns back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour down on turns back to praise. When the darkness closes in, give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Have you signed up for my weekly devotional email? Every Tuesday, I send out a devotion that will help you grow in your faith. Go to my website, awakentograce.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and when you sign up and submit your email, you'll get a direct message from me every Tuesday. Sign up today at awakentograce.com. Do you use a streaming device at home or at work? Simply say, hey Google, play Awaken to Grace with Chad Roberts podcast. And listen to our weekly podcast that is the current sermon that I preach each week at Preaching Christ Church.